Welcome to Caffeination 356, the offline edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. This is going to be airing on Friday, so hopefully everybody's going to get this in time. Hopefully the scheduling actually works. So you're going to be listening to this anytime after Friday the 7th of August. We're trying to rock out on a great show. We have a lot of content, a lot of great stuff to talk to you about. This week has been like the crazy week of podcast production, I got to tell you. Despite the fact that we actually did the late show on Tuesday, and we're airing a show on Friday to hopefully give, you know, the show, both shows time to breathe. We are still going to be back to on normal schedule. We're going to be airing another one on Sunday. It's actually going to probably drop in the middle of the day. We're going to be doing hosting Tech Podcast Weekly over techpodcasts.com, or rather blog.techpodcasts.com. And we're going to be doing the show on Wednesday. All of these shows have been recorded in the week. So it's been kind of crazy because I'm trying to set it up so I can go on vacation. We're heading with the family down to South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a nice long drive. We're trying to unplug as much as possible. I might still have to log in to send the emails on the different days, but still, that's beside the point. It's going to be great to be offline for a little while, and hopefully all of the interesting and hopefully entertaining content will keep you sated until I get back. So this is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast. We are lovingly nestled over www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com for everybody who can't spell. If you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for anything that appears in today's show, you can feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com. It's going to be a little bit before I get back to you, most probably at this point. Or you could sign up to comment on the podcast by becoming a friend of the Caffeination. You could sign up with Google Friend Connect. You can comment using your OpenID, Google, AIM, or Yahoo account. Just click Friends on the Caffeination and the Sign In button in the middle column at the very top on the website. So it's going to be a great day here today. Hopefully your week has ended lovingly and swimmingly. I know that no matter what happens to me, then I know I'm going to need to knock on wood there. But no matter what happens to me for the next couple of days, by the time you are listening to this, I will be going on vacation, and that is all that matters. It's going to be loving, it's going to be smooth, and I can't wait to tell you all about it when I get back. So, there's a lot of stuff to talk about today, not the least of which is a couple really huge and big announcements, and then we're going to get on into the rest. But before I tell you about any of that, we are going to tell you just a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. This is a huge problem right now. The economy is pretty bad. I mean, I know I stutter from time to time and make light of it, but it's not going to get any better anytime soon. So the easiest way that you can cut travel costs through tough economic times, you know, that includes flight, hotel, gas, anything else that you might put in there, even the Snickers that you buy on the way to the boardroom just so you have something in your stomach. Any way you can cut costs is great at this point in time. You can be more productive and get a lot more done in less time by using GoToMeeting. Hold all of your meetings online rather than driving or flying or wasting your time moving from place to place. You can demonstrate your product, you can conduct your sales presentations all from the comfort of your own computer. And the best part is it even has integrated phone and voiceover IP conferencing included. All of that at one low, low price for just $49 a month. That's literally less money than you would spend in gas on one of those really long trips. So for $49 a month, you get unlimited meetings, no overages, no hidden charges, and I highly suggest that you head on over there and at least give it a free 30-day trial. Visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts for a free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They're allowing us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff here. Like I said, this is going to be an interesting episode. I always hate actually kind of planning episodes ahead of time because you never really know if something really cool is going to come out in the meantime. So we're just going to try and do our best here. I would like to, however, point you over to blog.techpodcast.com. Currently, Buona from Buona.org Radio has a great PlayStation 3 special up there. This is Tech Podcast Weekly. The idea here is that this show host rotates and people can sign up for different slots and we all get to, you know, basically ply our wares to a larger audience. Todd from Geek News Central, which we're going to be talking about in just a second, actually did show number 15. Buona did show number 16. And Geekazine did show number 14. So there's a lot of really great and really off the wall and different content week to week. It's a great podcast to listen to. While the times might be all over the map, I got to tell you, it's really great because there's always new things coming down the pike. It's a great place to head on over there and check out. Now, talking about Todd Cochran, the host of the Geek News Central podcast, he knows about podcasts. podcasting because he literally wrote the book on it. Todd is going to be celebrating huge episode 500. That's 500, 5 centuries of recording. I don't know how long it would be if you actually added all of the minutes that he's spent on the air. I mean, not including his 24-hour podcast-a-thons that he's done. But since 2004, Todd has really run the gamut of awesome content. I started listening to his podcast and have gone in and out, but the first episode I ever listened to his show was 45. I remember on episode 50, he gave away a flag that flew over the, I believe it was the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor. That's because that's where he lived. And it was just... It seems so long ago. I mean, back then, when I was listening to the show, I was like, wow, it seems really cool that somebody could sit there in their basement or sit there in their wherever and do this. Now I'm one of those people with 355 episodes previously in my can. So it's really astounding that he has hit 500 episodes. I'm not that far behind, and I don't think I'm going to catch him anytime soon, but it is great to know that you're in a network who... He founded the Tech Podcast Network. So it's great to know that you're in a network with somebody who is literally a paragon of tech podcasting. So please head on over. If you have never heard his show before, please head on over to geeknewscentral.com and send him a huge congratulations on the wings of his big achievement. So it's my hat's off to you, Todd. Actually, my mic stands off to you at this point. That's unbelievable. I just thinking about 500 episodes and the amount of space that it would take up on your hard drive alone is astounding, let alone trying to upload and manage that every week. So it's great stuff, man. All right, we have a great little thing moving on to the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're going to talk about some fun little stories, and we're going to head on into a rather heavy food and caffeinated bits section. First up, lasers on airplanes. While they're not sharks, it's still pretty cool, and it's kind of hard to imagine why the pew-pew-pew has not actually gotten to a aircraft at this point. It's funny when you really think about it, because everybody has in their mind, like, the phasers from Star Trek, the Star Wars, you know, TIE Fighters, and they all have these... I mean, even G.I. Joe, eschewed, you know, the bullets and everything for the red and blue lasers. So that way you always knew who was shooting. And as my dad rather deftly pointed out, everybody always managed to jump out before the vehicle actually exploded. So, you know, somehow the soldiers in G.I. Joe were actually faster than light. Well, nothing's actually going to be faster than light in this. This is a massive, huge laser system that's going to be equipped on planes. I don't know how big the planes are going to do to have these things. They're going to be equipped with ultra-short pulse lasers. So it's USP lasers, which shoot beams of frequent pulse light that can create a path through the air via bolts of electricity that can travel towards a target. So in other words, they're going to be shooting lightning at other planes, which is just cool. I mean, this gets us one step closer to Star Wars, where you have a red leader, Bullseye, and Womp Rats, and that's unbelievable. I can't wait to actually see what this thing's going to look like. Of course, it's probably going to be 20 years before we actually get a video of one of these things firing off a little pew pew pew, but you know, hey. That's all good fun. All right, up next, Nissan has joined the fray with the affordable all-electric fast-charging vehicle in Leaf. Yes, you heard that there. The thud at the end of that sentence was the name of the vehicle, Leaf. We get it that you're trying to be green. We get it that you're trying to turn over a new leaf, as the case may be. But I understand that it's all electric, so it's a great thing for the environment. Despite the fact that, you know, the issues that have been put forward through with batteries in the past and how they may or may not affect the environment more adversely than actually driving a regular gasoline-powered car, I'm of the opinion that no matter what you do, somebody is really taking it to you in this world. So I haven't yet figured out exactly how they're going to be taking it to you with the electric cars, but it's an interesting car. It's a tiny little hatchback. Looks more like a Ford Focus with a kind of like a lower profile. It's nice, has a slightly aggressive features on it. It's all right. It's a tiny small car. It's nice, but you know, they're saying that you're going to be able to run this thing for only $13 a month. I really like the stylings of the Chevy Volt, so I have no clue what this is actually going to stack up and how it's going to look next to its side-by-side style, because none of them are actually out yet, so who knows. It can power 80% of its battery in only 30 minutes, so that's great that you can actually, you know, just pull off to the side of the road and charge it up. But yet again, another car has come out, electric car that has no solar panels on the roof. I don't care what it is at this point. I don't care if it has to blow the price point of the car out of the water. Why do they not have solar panels on the roof? I mean, even for any gain that they would have would be purely supplemental to the kinetic energy that they're recouping from the braking. So I understand that even, you know, there's a kit for the Prius that allows you to kind of recoup some of the costs for cooling the car, but I just don't understand why they don't try and make this standard issue. Maybe it's not cost efficient, maybe it's not actually energy efficient enough to put them up there. Who knows? But it just seemed to be a glaring omission, and I've really got to tell you, the name is a dud. I kind of think, you know, the car names don't have any kind of panache anymore. It's the Leaf. Okay, it's going to float on by. So, I mean, I think the Mini Cooper looks more awesome. In fact, the Mini Cooper even has a better name, and that is, has the name Mini up in front, so I don't even understand. So, all right, moving right along to the next little thing. Weather station shower mirror. The forecast is rainy and humid. Well, that's if you were actually taking it inside of the shower. I love shower mirrors that don't go foggy, first of all. So I just wanted to put that out there. This mirror is, unfortunately, $50, which is a little bit expensive, but what it actually has in attachment to it, despite, you know, in addition to having a bunch of pretty cool shelves under it, it also has a remote sensor that you can place up to what they say is 100 feet away, and it'll actually give you kind of barometric pressure, the range of the temperature, you know, inside, outside, dew point, all that stuff, and whether or not it's sunny or anything like that. That is fantastic. That's great. I don't understand why you would need to know that in the shower, but I guess any kind of time you could save on the way out the door is kind of cool in the morning. I would love to be able to shower in the morning. Instead, I'm kind of stuck with the nighttime cycle just because of that's how we roll, and I don't feel like we're waking up that early. But hey, you know, if maybe you could check it since the next day to see how it was, that would be kind of cool as well. Who knows? All right, next little thing we have up for you here. Now, I feel really incredibly and geekily embarrassed right here. Back to the Future, or back to the Back to the Future. I was unaware, despite the fact that I've seen these movies hundreds of times. I complain not. I was unaware that they changed female actresses in between the first and the second movie. I don't know if it's because I never saw the first one and then the second one right after it, or I just kind of figured they filmed it over and she had a slightly different hairstyle. I never figured it out that it was a completely different woman from one to the other. So they actually, if you want to have a little bit of fun, you could too can head on over there and watch Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2 replayed, both of the scenes on top of each other with each one of the actresses, to see whose performance you actually think is kind of cool. The other funny thing is that you can actually hear Doc saying, "Rhodes, where we're going, we don't need Rhodes." So it's kind of funny that despite all the other stuff, you know, missing and not and hitting, it's funny that Christopher Lloyd had that thing dead on in both of them, so kind of fun. Alright, we have a bunch of funny little stories that we're going to kind of talk to you about here. Shift into classy. Yes, you've heard of the eight-ball shifters and the other styling shifters that you can put on a manual transmission car, but how about a vintage beer can shift knobs? Yep, they're saying it's something that shirtless, toothless hicks and beat-up old pickups don't want to give the police another excuse to conduct a sobriety test, if you want to read the stuff that's over at nerdapproved.com. But I love it. I think it's fantastic. The only problem is it doesn't really look like a beer can, because they probably couldn't use any of the iconic beer cans that were out there. I personally think if you're going to do it upright, you got to fill it with spray foam and shove a real beer can down over top. Yeah, it might get you some guff from the law or from Smokies, but you know what? Hey, I just think it's kind of fun and wanted to pass it along. Now, if you're going to stay classy, there's only one way to do it in the bedroom. That's right. You need an elegant chandelier. Or at least a sticker that looks like one. They actually have a vinyl wall decal that looks like a chandelier hanging down. For those of you who don't have the money for the chandelier but still want the ambiance. Unfortunately, it does not provide any light, and there's a really no way to rehang it or move it from place to place. It looks fun. It looks kind of cool, but I would much rather have some of the other ones that are out there. I'm trying to figure out exactly how much it is. They're saying that the shipping is a certain price, but I'm actually trying to... Oh, sorry. The chandelier is actually $28, which is a significant price drop off of how much you would actually pay to buy a real chandelier, but still, it's not quite up to par, as they say. All right, moving right along yet again. Paintball turret plans have been released. Hide the women and frat boys. You heard me hear correctly. We talked about it a couple months ago here in the Caffeination Podcast. We talked about a paintball turret. It's literally a motorized machine of paintball death that can swing all around. It's remote controlled. It has two big hoppers full of paintballs and is capable of laying down suppressive fire at an astonishing rate. So, they've actually released the plans for how to create your own. I really hope some of the paintball places around here actually build one of these, because that would be fantastic if you could have, like, foxholes and pillboxes for paintball and lay down a suppressive fire, bring, like, a paintball Sherman tank in there, drop huge water balloons full of paintball. I mean, I just think that would be kind of fun. You could really kind of get into it there. My buddy Jimmy had the second half of his bachelor party at a a paintball thing. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend. We have scheduled a rain date, so we're going to be dropping down some paintball love. Hopefully, there will be the turret action there as well. But hey, if there isn't, I can always just help him build one, you know? That story is from over at Hackaday.com, but the pit plans are linked off of the website. Gotta love it. All right, next little thing we got up for you here is Nintendo Mini Classics. Now, I'm not one for rebuying material, I gotta tell you. In fact, I've been having arguments on Twitter, and I've been having arguments on blog comments and emails over the past couple weeks because I really can't stand the idea of what the Kindle represents. The fact that it's such a closed system, and the fact that all of the books that I own, which I have a rather substantial library, especially for somebody, I guess you could say, my age, I don't want to have to rebuy Lord of the Rings. That's plain and simple. I mean, this is not Men in Black. I guess I have to rebuy the White Album again. No, we're moving beyond that. I have two different versions of Lord of the Rings. I'm looking to buy a third one, but I don't want it to be on the Kindle. I want to be able to go over there, scan the UPC symbol, and say, boop, there's my Lord of the Rings. I can go about and read it. But, you know, a lot of people have made different interesting points about this. They've said, hey, you know what? What's to stop you from going through a library and going beep, 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 beep right down the line, and all of a sudden you have A through G? Yes, that's a very real consequence. And the problem is people have to let up the control after the fact, after the sale of the book, and that's not going to happen. People are just plain and simple too greedy, and people are also incredibly stupid. I'm not pulling any punches here. People are going to pay for the same content over and over and over again. It's just how people roll. So, with all of that being said, I kind of think these are kind of cool. I guess it's all a matter of scale. Nintendo Mini Classics are actually recreations of tiny little Game Boys. They're $16 each, so it's slightly more than a book on the Kindle, but it's a fully functional game that's a keychain. They actually have Mario's Cement Factory, which I never actually played, Donkey Kong Jr., Super Mario Brothers, and I can't see what the third one is, or the fourth one is, but you gotta love it. It's just really kind of cool, and it's an interesting little price point that they've kind of worked there. So if you don't have enough money for a DS, you can relive the classics with the Nintendo Classics Mini. Alright, now I often ask people, I know a lot of audiophiles, I guess is the easiest way to explain it, but I often ask people, how do your speakers sound? And they say, well, you know, there's a nice real deep bass range to it. I'm like, no, do they sound good or do they sound like crap? They say, well, you know, I would like to say they would sound good. I'm not going to buy speakers and then say that they don't sound well. Well, these speakers are supposed to sound like crap. What they are is portable toilet speakers. You heard me hear correctly. You too can buy your very own set of portable toilet speakers coming in the lovely shades of like kind of like Jolly Rancher watermelon red, a lovely cyan blue, yellow, and white, just in case you like that pristine porcelain, and for $15.99 each. I don't know what else to say here. They're relatively small, they're kind of weird looking, and I can only assume at this point that they came out of Japan because for some reason that culture has a huge fascination with toilets in general. There's a restaurant where you can actually eat out of bowls shaped like toilets, and it's just off the wall to me. But hey, I would still actually try it. All right, that about wraps up the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. I told you this is going to be a slightly abbreviated show. It's going to be a little bit more than slightly abbreviated, but we're around halfway through. And we are rocking into the food and caffeinated bits here up next. I would like to take time to mention that just in case you forgot, you can email me at caffeination@gmail.com. Tell me what you liked, hated, or, you know, just if you want to shoot the proverbial breeze. So that's all right and fine. I got to tell you, one of the funny things about doing an off-the-hip kind of show, especially being how I am offline, every once in a while you kind of stutter through a phrase or something like that. It's because I'm trying to find the G-rated rendition of it. So those of you who are not G-rated yourselves, you can kind of understand my problem. Then you realize that I don't actually have to edit out most of them. I kind of drop the mental filter in there just before it comes out and kind of try and steer it in a different direction, but it doesn't always sound correct. So that's why some of my turns of phrase are turned left instead of right. Alright, moving right along. Food and caffeinated bits here. Never drinking derive. That's because when I first saw this, I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. Calculus on shot glasses. However, this is not calculus on shot glasses. This is incredibly stupid. This is emoticons on shot glasses. However, if you're drunk enough, you can probably complain to a math major and try and get him to solve the equation, which is seriously just a bunch of emoticons. They have kiss and flirt, dance and sing, play and win, laugh and shout. Four little sets, each with two different emoticons on. I'm not personally a fan of the emoticons that stretch from parenthesis to end parenth, because I think that it kind of takes the rotational aspect out of it by having a straight vertical emoticon. I'm more of a traditionalist with emoticons. I like it, you know, the simple colon in the in paren. I think that's very nice, very very clean, very aesthetically pleasing. I'm not really a big fan of the wider format. So, I mean, if you want to put a nose in there, that's your business. You want to make it wink, okay, I'll give you that. But when you start adding eyebrows and hair and, you know, second cousins twice removed after it, then, you know, it loses all of the emotion in the emoticon to me anyway. All right, now I posted this over Tumblr, but I had to share it. You want to be irresistible, ladies? Here's some bacon lip balm. Yeah, you heard me here correctly. Bacon balm. I've promised that I wouldn't do too many bacon products, and I've been really kind of trying to restrain myself, but this is bacon lip balm. Yes, everything should taste like bacon is the slogan. It's $13 for a pack of four at Amazon. I'm very tempted to buy one of these for my sister just because she really digs chapstick in a way that I don't know anybody else on the planet digs it. Like, she actually had a hoodie customized to say chapstick across the front. But I don't know if she would dig bacon chapstick. So that's basically what this is, and it's kind of freaky because I don't want that many things to taste like bacon. I like the smell of bacon, believe me, but that's just weird beyond belief. All right, next up here we have what warms your gravy, and other euphemistic phrases can be used here. Gravy boat and warming stand. If you take the oil warming systems that they have out there, where it's basically the platform with the water and the oil over the top, and then there's a tea light at the bottom to actually light and warm the oil, so you actually get a nice little aromatherapy style action going on. Imagine that with a gravy boat instead of a little dish up top. That's what you got right here. Here's a couple of issues with this. The amount of space in between the gravy boat and the tea light is rather small. And I understand that's probably for stability's sake, and after re-examining this, at first I thought you actually had to take the entire contraption with you when you were pouring gravy on something, not bacon on something. I mean, if you wanted to make bacon gravy, I'm assuming you could, but still, that's beside the point, neither here nor there. It's two pieces. So the bottom piece is a little warming stand, and then the top piece is the gravy boat. So you could kind of wander it around. The only problem is if you're going to hand it down the table at Thanksgiving, I could imagine somebody actually putting their hand out and grabbing the bottom, which just had raw flame on it. And then you're going to have Uncle Mort with a burnt hand, and everybody's going to be angrier than they normally would be at a holiday dinner. So I like the idea. It just needs slight modifications, because if I've seen anything from these oil burners and stuff like that, you need at least 3 or 4 inches to actually, you know, kind of dissipate the heat a little bit to actually have it circulate and have it done right. And I understand that's with water and the gravy is slightly more viscous. However, I just think it's either going to burn the gravy at the bottom or it's just going to be slightly off. I don't understand. I mean, yes, it's pretty, but I don't understand if it's going to actually work or not. There's nothing else. But it's only $25 if you really want to give it a shot, so I thought I'd pass it along. All right, now, for some reason, we seem to be finding a lot of drinking games lately. This isn't your grandmother's game of bingo unless you have a really awesome grandmother. So old ladies have never had so much fun. This is drinking bingo. Yep, you heard me here correctly. There's there's all different colored shot glasses going around, then there's different colored balls that are on the inside. So basically, you put the balls in there, you spin it around, and then at one point in time, a different colored ball will come out, and the person who has the corresponding colored glass will have to drink. I like this idea. I think it's pretty funny. However, it seems to lack a certain element of surprise, because, I mean, what happens if somebody gets like 5 blue in a row? I mean, you're going to have one guy tanked, and the rest of the party's not even going to get started. So, or then again, you might have somebody who wants to get tanked and try and, you know, modify the balls beforehand to actually have like a weighted green when you knew that his girlfriend was green. I mean, there's all kinds of different and interesting potential for abuses that are heaped upon this kind of system. But if you are the type of person who really goes into contraptions to enable your drinking habits, then you might want to purchase one for $26.47. It's a weird price, but we just thought we'd tell you because it's kind of fun. Now, sticking with games and food, but kind of going across the going across the aisle here, we're going to popcorn basketball bowl. I love this. I'm a big fan of popcorn in general. Not the microwave stuff. I like the hot air popped, which is one of the reasons I chose the poppery as the method for roasting coffee, because it can kind of do double duty if you clean it in between. But you can pile the popcorn high in the bowl here. On the one hand, there's a basketball net, and on the other hand, there's a spoon. This is fantastic. This has drinking game written all over it. And not because it's directly associated with alcohol, but because there's an element of chance, there's a little bit of an element of skill. I like the games that have a little bit of an element of skill. It's kind of like, you know, beer pong or even flip cup or something like that. I think they're interesting, but I don't necessarily think that the bingo is really kind of hitting the mark for what a really truly good drinking game is. So this is kind of cool because the object is honestly just to shoot the popcorn across and get it in the net. That's kind of like old school football with the paper football. There's a little holder in there for a can. They have a bunch of napkins and stuff like that. It's called the Wild Fling. I like this. I really think this is fun. They show you a rather large, portly gentleman sitting there who's really enjoying. You can either get a blue bowl or a red bowl, and they're only $24.98. I gotta tell you, I think it's actually pretty cool. This might be something you might want to look into. Now, when we got married, we had four pizza cutters. That's right, four pizza cutters at one point in time through the process of showers and weddings and things like that. Some of them were very nice. Other of them were kind of included as kind of like a throw-in because, hey, you'd want to have a pizza cutter. Now, none of them addressed the real problem of using pizza cutters. First of all, the fact that we live in an area where everybody cuts the pizza before they send it to you. Second of all, multi-blade pizza slicers are the actual perfect slice of pizza. This is what you really need to use because this is a perfect, you know, wagon wheel spoke so that you can actually get eight slices of pizza perfectly cordoned. However, it kind of eliminates the element of chance that, you know, if you have a big family, you got to kind of try angle, slow down, or speed up your consumption of the pizza so you don't get that one tiny little piece that's somewhere in the middle. The only thing good about our house right now is that since I have a young son, he automatically gets the tiny pizza. As soon as he gets big enough to try and fight for food, we're going to have some issues and a second pizza. I got to tell you that much right now. So I like the idea of having kind of like a one uniform pizza situation going on, but like I said, everybody comes with pre-sliced pizza right now, and I'm not about to start, you know, flipping dough in the kitchen. We don't have a nice enough oven for that. All right, moving right along to a fantastic promotion. I cannot tell you how awesome I think this article and this promotion is. Muddy Dog Roasting Company, their tagline is sit, stay, have some coffee. They have a lovely little picture of a dog. It's a dog tag, and it's just nice all around. It's a nice little thematic coffee roasting area. I gotta tell you, this is fantastic. Fantastic, their little program. They set our Cash for Crappy Coffee program. Kind of harkening back to the Cash for Clunkers program recently put out by the government, whether or not you like it or you hate it, everybody knows the name at this point, because the auto dealers, even after the money is long gone, they're still putting the commercials out there, probably because they bought a month of advertising ahead of time. Anyway, without getting too much into that, what they're doing is they're collecting coffee that will be taken out of circulation, bad coffee that will be taken out of circulation. They're giving you a discount on their new artisan roasted coffee, so you get a $2 discount and I like this because the person who wrote this actually really kind of put a lot of thought into this. And this is great. This says you can't just trade in any coffee. That old Starbucks is a little too highfalutin quality. Newman's Organic, sorry, no coffee for you. Dunkin' Donuts, borderline. Depends on how old it is and whether or not it's pre-ground. Folgers, Nescafe, now we're talking, my friend. And they're saying that there's no direct cash equivalent. However, they will give you a $2 discount off a Muddy Dog coffee on the back end. How they came up with $2 is rather ingenious. They said the same percentage that the government is trying to offer you to trade in your clunker, it was 15 to 20%, they're likely to trade in for the price of the coffee. That makes it fair and balanced. That's great. That's an awesome idea. I can't tell you how cool I think that is. So if I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was really cool. You can head on over there and check some stuff out. It's just kind of fun. All right, moving right along to the last little link that we have for you here in the shortened caffeination today. I told you we were trying to kind of keep it nice and spelt. I'd like to kind of trim the episodes overall down to like 30 minutes, because some of the ones that hit up around 40, 45, I'm getting tired of talking at that point, so I know you might get tired of listening to me. I'd like some feedback on what you think the optimal length for a caffeination would be. However, before I let you go and before I release my hold upon your earlobes, I might now want to tell you about the Because I Can section. Now, I used to do this all the time, haven't done it in quite a little while, but this is Because I Can. I link up to a funny video on a different website. This is Scrubs Coffee Addiction. It's talking about how Turk is being warned off of coffee by his wife because she was pregnant. Here's the funny story about that. My wife never tried to do that because she knew that there would be issues. First of all, she's not a coffee drinker, so we wouldn't have had any issues that way. But, you know, just overall, you can't take me off coffee. That would not end well for society, especially if I'm driving. And then secondly, they show you, you know, JD says, I hope there's no consequences for my coffee addiction. And they show you him 20 years or 10, 15 years in the future, in the kind of crazy infomercial style where he has like a mustache, and he's sitting there looking under his son's bed and pulls out an espresso machine and says, who taught you to do this? Who did this? He's like, I learned from watching you. So it's a fantastic little clip. You can head on over there. And the best part about the entire clip is at the end where he says, at least he's using good beans. True, JD. True. All right. I don't want to be one of those guys who explains the joke in every comic, so I'm not going to be doing that too often. But there might be some fun little surprises for you if you head on over to the Caffeination repeatedly over the next couple weeks. I might start like a little comic section on there as well, because the Caffeination was originally intended to be a comic. I might want to try my hand to pencil in or scribble in or whatever it is. I'd like to thank you for sticking around for this edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. It's been fun to bring it to you. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to it. This has been Caffeination number 356, the now going offline edition here. We are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. And it's not a coincidence, I swear. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And the dog says it's time to go, so thanks for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.